Good morning, day or night, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to Survive and Drive Podcast. Today we will be discussing Formula One, the 2024 season.
This is your favorite source of American-based F1 conversation, presented by me, Alex, and my co-host, Tyler. Let's race into it. That felt good? First one back in a while?
Whoop, whoop.
Yeah.
That's so, the cops chasing after
exactly. Max. After Max, yeah. So we're back finally after a long hiatus.
We're back. We got a little shaky there. Not a lot of competition.
Yeah.
And now we're back alive.
Now we're back alive. A lot back of competition.
Let's get through it.
Yeah, so what are we going to do? Go team by team here?
We're going to do the same classic as most of our multi-race recaps, going bottom to top of the constructors' order by driver, by team. Touch on some news, touch on the last few races.
Yeah, clean and efficient this time, and then we're going to try to get back on a more regular scheduled programming here.
Yep.
But yeah, we're going to keep this nice and simple for you guys today, just kind of recap everything. And so I guess we'll start with, are we starting in standings order?
Kick Sauber.
So
with 0 points.
0 points. So I just want to, I just have one question for Kick Sauber, because not a lot to talk about this year.
Yeah.
How do we feel about your guy?
I don't know. You know, good guy.
Good guy. I agree.
It's tough because, he hasn't gotten the greatest results the past few seasons.
No.
But he has never been in a car that has been even remotely competitive.
Caveat, though. I think, if I recall correctly, you might have bet him to finish with more points than Bottas.
That was last season.
I was going to say, if you had this season, at least that'll push, because they'll get zero.
Probably. That's the way it looks.
So, yeah.
Well, if Max keeps running over everybody.
That's true. If Max keeps cheating, then it might be a different story. But trickle down. Yeah, sure. Not much to say here, though. I mean, they haven't really bought a competitive car. They're always qualifying at the back. They haven't even really been close to the points. I don't know. I mean, that team, we got Hulkenberg going there next year. That's been confirmed, I think, since we last did a pod. But
Second seat remains open. Few people in the mix, too.
Yeah, we got, I mean, Sainz a possibility because it's going to be Audi eventually.
Sainz. Liam Lawson, apparently.
Ocon. Theo Porcher's, I think, Porcher. The reserve driver, so it could be that. Ocon and Hulkenberg would be a funny teammate combination. I don't know why that would just be funny.
Ocon and everybody becomes a funny combination.
Yeah, Ocon and anybody
this
is
guy
funny.
Is creating trouble for himself left and right, but we'll get to that.
Yeah,
I think when we get up to Alpine, we won't have to go far.
Yeah,
but yeah, Kick Sauber, not much going on. A couple of signings off the track. I think that's really it.
Yeah, I think that's probably enough on Kick.
They're in the back of the grid.
They're
like, Austria was this past weekend. It was great. I was looking, watching the front of the grid. Front of the grid was great. And then I look back to find my boy real quick. Zhou. Yeah. Down in 19th. But at least he wasn't as bad as this next team. Williams, Logan Sargeant, who was 40 seconds behind him.
Yeah.
At that moment that I had looked.
That was tough.
Williams struggling a bit more than I think we had anticipated them to at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, actually didn't look at the beginning that bad.
No, and genuinely, I think that was Albon dragging it up by the bootstraps and just pulling it into the points every twice.
Yeah, every
twice. I think there is a lot of hope for Williams, and there was, we've seen so much of this ebb and flow throughout the season and throughout the off season, but I think there's a lot of hope, a lot of drive. James Vowles really getting his grips into the team and hiring, it was almost 30 people, I think it was, really bringing in a class of mechanics, of engineers, of top management that, hopefully for him and hopefully for Albon and whoever gets that second seat will be able to be a little more competitive week in and week out.
Yeah, I agree. I think, in terms of the season, it hasn't been that successful, but it feels like there is a lot of positivity in that camp.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we have the classic, which we get every couple of years here, where we're getting the rumors already of that the Mercedes engine is a step above everybody else's, and they would technically get that engine.
Yeah.
We have some Sainz potential rumors
to
there as well.
I would love to see an Albon and Sainz.
Yeah, I would too. There's, and I'm going to shout out I'm gonna shout out my friend Erin here for this because she is a big Sainz and Ferrari fan, and my mom as well, both of them.
There you go.
I think they are a little more concerned about that, but I would like them to not be, because we'll get to Mercedes and we'll get to their second driver potential, but I think there is a lot of positive momentum for Williams. And I think there's a chance, even if things don't work out with Mercedes' potential second driver, that Sainz gets bumped up to that anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have to take a back seat for a year, like, great, but there's, I think James Vowles is running a very tight ship over there, and like, there seems to be not this doom and gloom around it anymore, yeah, and a lot more excitement, and that, I think, is good news.
Yeah. I have two thoughts before we head up the order. The first related to Sainz. I think we talk a little bit more about him, and Williams will come up a little bit more. Him weighing his options is a really interesting conversation, yeah, that I think we should touch on in regards to the difference between Williams and the rest of his options, yeah, on the grid. The second is, I would love to see a series, a short series, or just an entire F1 driving, whatever the actual one's called.
Yeah,
I would love to see that just strictly with James Vowles and the Williams team.
Oh, yeah.
They're so professionally,
yeah,
hilarious.
Yes, yeah. It's all like, it's all real. Like, they're being real. Like, they're being real. They're not being fake on, yeah, camera and stuff. But it's like, yeah, I agree that, like, having a series that you could just follow them along for 10 episodes
just good
would
content.
Be awesome. Would just be great good content. Because everyone is genuinely, like, even if they have a bad weekend and stuff, like, there's always, they're always positive. Like, mm-hmm, it's just, that to me, that is the best. Bringing in James Vowles is the best move they made,
yeah,
in the last decade, probably. And
it's like they're like an F1 child.
Basically,
know? The,
yeah,
the Williams, yeah, team has been around for so long. They wanted to keep the name, even though changing ownership. They've,
yeah,
you know, just been part of the paddock, part of everybody likes them.
Yeah.
James Vowles is a great guy. Their drivers have always been respectable enough.
Yeah.
You know, they've always had one that hasn't been performing, and then they've always had,
yeah,
the George Russell or the Albon who's,
yeah,
been
exceeding expectations.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And before, you know, back in the day,
Bottas
winning races, whatever,
yeah,
they were doing,
yeah,
they were always a respectable team,
yeah,
a fun team to watch, a fun team to wear a crew neck with.
Shout out you.
And
yeah,
I'm excited to see where they go.
Shout out Williams guy from Disney 2 years ago.
Yeah,
that,
yeah,
was fully kitted up.
What was,
yeah,
his rumor back then?
His rumor was that he said that Williams was going to be, he said 3 to 5 years, which is still the timeline. He said 3 to 5 years Williams would be back at top, because he thought when the next regs came around, they'd have a good engine. Mm. And those rumors are circulating again. Mm. So it's not bad. Not
it's
a
alive.
Bad thing. Yeah. All right.
It's alive.
Let's keep going though.
All right. Let's jump up to Alpine here. A lot to talk about on the driver's side. A little bit to talk about on the management side. They,
yeah,
have had some back and forth, some new hires, some promotions, which it seems like never stops at the carousel,
yeah,
that is Alpine. Let's jump into Gasly signing a multi-year,
yeah,
deal with Alpine. Yep. And the other French half of the team, who, let's just touch on it real quick, Monaco. Awful.
Whoa, yeah,
Ocon.
What was that? That
Ocon
was insane.
Pinballing around.
That was insane.
And again in Austria, again almost every weekend,
yeah,
is
just,
those two,
yeah,
cars fighting each,
fighting
other,
each other,
and Ocon somewhere stepping over
the
gray line.
Yep.
It,
yeah,
it happens every week right now. It makes for good drama. It makes for good, you know, TV, good time, good advertisement time.
Yes.
I'm sure their partners are okay, happy with it right now. I'm sure they'd love to be seeing them fight for a few more points than they are right now, but it is entertaining in,
yeah,
some sense, but will be, I think, a good move for them to move on from Ocon.
I agree. I think it's sad that we're going to lose that drama between them, because they are just the most,
yeah,
dramatic team ever always. And now I do want to give, before we move on, I do want to give them a small shout out, because they have significantly improved since the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
They were the worst car by far, and, mm-hmm, now they are scratching the back of the points. They're getting into Q3 some. I'm just saying, in terms of where they're at the beginning of the season,
yeah,
they are clearly closer to the middle of the pack now, and
they're in more of a position,
yeah,
to pick up the pieces.
Pick up the pieces,
yeah,
yeah. So I just want to give them credit for that, because we were memeing them to death to start the year.
Yeah, deservedly so.
Deservedly so, yeah.
The other two things about Alpine here, Sainz, we'll get to him again, but
possibility. Yeah.
And then the other is, apparently they've been discussing taking a Ferrari power unit, with the regulations. Yes, yeah,
I heard that they decided to potentially not. They basically were like, we're not good enough at this engine thing. Like, let's just take another team. Which, to me, if you are not Ferrari or Mercedes, or I guess in Red Bull's case, having Honda, if you're not one of those who's already established and doing it, like, just take their engine.
Yeah.
Just take, don't even have to worry about it then.
They're the only team on the grid with an engine that is not shared.
Yeah.
And there's a reason for that. A historic reason for that. Because their engines have not performed.
Been in a while. Yeah, I mean, Red Bull left them. And that was all that drama in...
Uh-huh.
Was that sales season one of Drive Survive, I think. Yeah, it was 2018. So.
With old Cyril.
Old Cyril. What a guy. Okay. All right.
Jumping up to Haas after an amazing double points finish this weekend. Given some good luck. But they were running well before the drama up front. So they've kind of turned it around. They've been in the mix, you know, qualifying much better than they were, and sitting in seventh right now, 10 points above Alpine after the haul this weekend, 12 points this weekend. It's looking good.
I'll say this about this. So Hülkenberg has been incredible this year. Mm-hmm. He's made it into Q3 a lot of times. He's getting points. And I know they're not going to have this team next year, obviously, because of Hülkenberg leaving. But Magnussen, too, taking this role now where he's clearly not been as good as Hülkenberg.
Yeah.
But he always helps him out during the race. It's worked perfectly for them where they're in a position where they're, what, seventh now then? Is that what we have on the list?
Yep.
So they're seventh, which is way better than they've been in the past. Mm-hmm. And they have potential to probably move up even maybe to sixth, but
I mean, they're at the very least a steady seventh right now.
Steady seventh. So, like, that's a big difference between 10th and 7th for the prize money and everything and just the momentum going forward. I think they're working well together. Like, there doesn't seem to be drama between them. And maybe Steiner wasn't...
Steiner wasn't the best.
I mean, he's a fun guy, but, like, they've...
They needed something refreshed.
They needed something refreshed. Yeah, they needed something fresh. So
I kind of like the Blue Jackets. I will say,
good shout.
The great thing for them is that at the beginning of the season, to get any points, Magnussen had to absolutely scrap himself.
Yeah.
Into defensive positions, into moving under braking, doing all of these things that were racking him up penalty points.
Yeah.
And now we see this past weekend again with the good fortunes up front, but in a position to be hauling home 12 points, which is very significant at the back of the grid.
There. Oh, for sure.
All right, let's jump up to Red Bull VCarb. Tsunoda, Ricciardo.
Yeah.
30 points, 11 points clear, 28 points back.
Yeah, so this team all over the place for me. So at the start of the year, they were sick. Like, they're like, this is the sixth best team.
Yeah.
For sure, flirting with five maybe even, like, but for sure the sixth best team. Like, Tsunoda had some great performances. Ricciardo was kind of down still, but
trying to get to the
But so that's great performances, some points and stuff like that. I feel like of recent, it hasn't. I know Ricciardo got points, I think, last weekend.
Yeah.
But they seem to have kind of gone stagnant a little bit. But I will say, I think, you know, there's been some rumors about Lawson potentially stepping in for Ricciardo.
Mm-hmm.
I think Tsunoda is kind of the centerpiece of that team and will be going forward.
He has signed for multi-year.
He's performing well, and that's, I think, exciting if you're one of the few VCarb fans out there. Shout out Mr. Bittner. But I think it's just a nice step forward to them. Where like, okay, they're in sixth right now. I think as long as they can do what they need to do going forward, they can finish in sixth, which would be a nice step forward. And I think for them, that goal of like, okay, how can we be, you know, the middle pack / fighting for consistent points is kind of that next step. And can they get there? But I think overall, if you're grading the season, I think pretty positive season so far to be where they're at.
Yeah, I think we've had, like, we started off this season with such a disparity between like 5th to 10th.
Yeah.
We had such clear clunkers of cars, you know, the Alpine in the back by miles. And then we had kind of a good staggered two teams that were fighting each other. Now it seems like Aston Martin's really come down or maybe not progressed as much as Red Bull has. Haas is performing better, maybe more strategically wise rather than as many upgrades. But they're all kind of in that pack, and it's almost week in, week out track dependent upon who's going to be there right behind the top four to really take advantage. Sonoda signed. Ricciardo, still a question mark. With a big propulsion by Helmut Marko.
Yeah. But I mean, Helmut Marko does this every year, though.
Kind of vague.
Yeah, kind of vague, too.
Yeah, all right. Let's jump 28 points up to Aston Martin, who is way too many to count down on Mercedes.
Yeah, so their Aston Martin is going to be at fifth, I think, for the rest of the season. Mm-hmm. They're a funny team because the drop-off from last year, the beginning of last year, is insane.
Yeah.
This year, they haven't had a big drop-off. They've just kind of been stably at the back of those top four teams.
Yeah.
They'll get a good qualifying here and there, but lately they've been qualifying poorly and been poor in the race.
Yeah.
I don't know what – I mean, it goes back to last year. At the middle of last year, I don't know what direction they took, but whatever it was is wrong, and they've not been able to recover from it.
Yeah, I think they started out the new regulations so well.
Yeah.
And they had a step above everybody else in that kind of field, and since then they just haven't developed in or they had less to develop into because they started out so high. I think they are coming backwards in relation to the development of these other teams.
I agree.
But they are a team with so much resources behind them.
Yeah.
That, you know, I think they can really turn it around if they get the right developmental pieces.
And shocker, Lance Stroll signs for multiple years.
Yeah.
Nobody would have saw that coming.
Yeah. I do want to say Alonso... It's been tough to watch recently because he's not qualifying well. He's racing in the back of the pack.
And he's kind of just okay with it. He's kind of just like, whatever.
He's also been racking up, I think he's at 8 points. 8 penalty points.
Yeah, and he's getting a lot of penalties.
And I think it's because
back to his trolley ways again.
Yeah, well, he almost can't rely on the car like he wants to or like he just naturally does in his driving style. So I think that's leading him into, you know, we saw a lockup into the back of Joe this weekend. We've seen some sillier incidents that are not necessarily driver related. It seems to be more because the car underneath him can't keep up with him in a way. All right, let's jump up a big gap up to fourth, Mercedes. With the quote, "How could we be so dumb?"
Yeah, sure. I mean, I'll let you lead here. This is your team.
Tough. Everybody had such great expectations coming out of 21. You know, a great season, title fight. Should have had the championship. They did have the constructor in the bag, but, you know, should have had them both. They obviously a really tough start, and apparently it wasn't as bad as it looked on track because they just decided to focus on kind of the wrong things or it sounds like almost more nitty-gritty things than they should have.
The bigger picture
looking
stuff,
at the bigger picture. So now that they've realized that, they've come with the new front wing. It's really helping their balance overall.
Yeah.
And it makes you question, you know, the whole porpoising issue at the start of these regulations.
Yeah.
Is that because people were so focused on the cooling effect, the aerodynamics through the back of the cars?
Agreed.
Now that they're focusing so much on the front wings, the balance, everything to allow the ride height to be as low as they want it to be, it seems like things are not working.
I feel like all the teams did this where they were just basically told, oh, these new regs will make for closer racing.
Yeah.
So they just kind of ignored all of that piece of it.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, let's focus on the other things then because, like, the regs will take care of the rest.
Yeah.
And it didn't really.
Yeah.
Or like, they didn't focus on the other areas enough.
There was a few more issues to solve.
Yeah, there was
a few more
issues to solve, and then we got all that porpoising at the beginning. But
mm-hmm.
I will say this. Obviously, we've already discussed this. You have Lewis leaving. They just won a race now. Yeah. We'll get into why they won that race, but they did just win a race. Start out the year definitely on the back foot, like definitely fourth. Mm-hmm. I think they're definitely in that fight now for third. I shouldn't even say fully Red Bull. It's Max and the McLaren drivers,
mm-hmm.
and then a small step Ferrari, a small step Mercedes right now.
Yeah.
Roughly.
Feels like almost the last few races. We'll get to Ferrari, but Sainz is almost in that top tier, and then Leclerc hasn't been.
Yeah, we'll get to Ferrari. I have my thoughts.
Okay.
I have my thoughts. But I would say, you know, they won a race, so a lot of positives there. I think if you're a Mercedes fan, it's who are we going to get as a driver next year, which it seems like they want to go the Antonelli route, but
I think they're almost forced into it.
Forced into it because of it. Now, I could see them doing it next year, and if he stinks, then they bring Sainz up the year after. Mm. But if you're a Mercedes fan, you're like, okay, we won a race, great, and we might have a sick engine for 2026. So, like, that's what you're looking forward to.
It is exciting. I think the next step is exciting. I think, like, as a somewhat of a Mercedes fan, fairly decent Mercedes fan.
I would say, yeah. You own a shirt.
Optics have been very tough for them over the past year. You lose. Yeah. I mean, even coming into the new regulations, right? You're not able to perform well.
Yeah.
You're not in the top of the mix like you have been so used to being.
Exactly.
You
lose a seven
times. Lose your driver.
The face of your entire existence, basically. Company. Yeah, company.
I mean, you don't have an advertisement without Lewis in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
They probably do, but you know what I mean. They have such this well-respected management style, such as, you know, a high-quality organization that they had, all these development, everything. They had the whole package, and I think it's just slowly shape-shifting into the future of Mercedes, which is, you know, they're losing Lewis, they're losing this face, they're hoping that George can take that, but I don't know if he will yet.
I don't know if he will,
I think it's going to be more of a team
look. Thing,
Toto's kind of losing that villain role that he...
Yeah, he's kind of just coming in and be like, hey, we're not that great. Like, let's lock in type of thing. But
he had this past weekend the... What did he call it? The single dumbest radio message of his entire career.
George, we can win this as he's going...
Underbraking,
yeah.
Yeah. Not a bad... Like, not fully bad optics. Yeah. I will say the one thing that has irked me the most as a Mercedes fan is this... strange push for Verstappen.
Yeah, listen, I agree with this, and here's why. I get where Toto's coming from. He is a great driver, and as much as we are not a big fan of him, he is probably the best driver in the grid right now. There's no arguing that.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, if you can get a good driver, you're going to get him. But that, there's such a rivalry there, and such everything that's happened, it would feel disgusting. And I would equate it to, like, and this is speaking from I guess my personal rivalry terms, like it would be like if Urban Meyer went and coached Michigan. It would be like what are we doing here? Like, what are we doing? So I get where he's coming from, and I also am a little curious because he keeps bringing it up. So he must know something, otherwise he wouldn't keep saying this. Like, I don't think it's gonna happen.
Yeah.
But there must be some kind of possibility there, because he would not keep saying this about it. But yeah, if I'm a Mercedes fan, like, I don't know if I could root. How do you root for him? How would you root for him? How would you root? There's no world where you're rooting for him.
Not a chance. I would start watching NASCAR.
There you go.
I think the toughest part of this, so I'll say this, right? You have your starting position from this year as a Mercedes organization. You're losing Lewis. And in that sense, it's almost like you've lost the battle of the Lewis and Verstappen head-to-head. You've kind of lost that to Red Bull. So your biggest win would come signing Max Verstappen.
Yeah.
Now, the way in which you do that would have been, like, let's say at the end of the year, Max Verstappen signs alongside George at Mercedes. Just hypothetically.
Yeah.
If the route that they took to get there is how they have done it so publicly, Toto being so, he's such a great driver, he's this, he's that, after absolutely slandering him in 2021, somewhat deservedly so, I think that route versus if Toto just had these negotiations behind the scenes, had all of this data with their new engines, and had went that path privately, and then all of a sudden drop a bombshell, kind of similar to how Lewis dropped, hey, I'm signing with Ferrari.
Yeah.
I think that route would have been your big win. But now now Mercedes kind of looks like they were already behind. They weren't on the front foot when Lewis left. And now
they're trying to, like, pick the pieces up, basically.
It feels like they're chasing.
I agree. That's fair.
And this is why I said they're almost being pushed into Antonelli, is because you can't go and, like, sign Ocon.
Yeah.
Like, that's just not – that's not a path that you can take and feel like you've won in any way. So I think they're almost forced into taking this, what they've built up as a prodigy, and, you know, try to take it from there.
Yeah.
We'll see how they go. I think their best bet as a team, as an organization, will be to come out next year and absolutely smash it out of the park.
Well, yeah, that's what everybody wants to do.
Which we can hope. Yeah.
No, I Listen, I want this to be, which we're going to get to this. We're getting the field right now, and now Red Bull could, I say this, and then Red Bull could come out at in Great Britain and blow everybody out of the water and be back down again. But
yeah,
the field is condensing down at the top. We're getting more competitive races. We're going to get there, I think, in a second. But I want Mercedes back into it. It's more fun when Toto is more involved and all that other stuff. But
I will, just to end on the Mercedes note, they are very excited about the upgrades that they're bringing for Great Britain. Home race for both drivers. It'll be very exciting. Yeah. Hopefully they're able to perform in that same sense.
Okay. Yeah, I agree.
Cool.
All right.
Now you want to move on to McLaren?
Yeah, so, I mean, what a year, right? So, listen, I'm going to have my little moment here. I haven't recorded, so.
Let me step back.
People are saying this is the summer of Alex. I'm just giving everybody shouts. The summer of Ryan. The summer of anybody else who's a McLaren fan. Those are me and Ryan are the only ones I know. But.
I have a shirt.
You have a shirt, too, yeah. You're a cat. You're a light casual.
I'm a fan of the sport.
Listen, they start out the year kind of not as bad as they did the year before, but kind of in that P7, P8 range, and then they just turn it on come China. Lando's gotten like 5 second places or 4 second places. He won a race, which I'm sure you thought the same way. That was so awesome because
it was
after what happened in Sochi in 21 and kind of everything leading up to this, for the first time, in my opinion, in his career, other than that one or two races in 21, he has a car that is capable of winning races, and he won a race, and not only won it, won by 7 seconds, and just the reaction and everybody being so behind it has been so awesome. We had other races where, and look, I'll also be on the other side of this. I'm going to be fair here. Like, he probably should have won in Canada.
Yeah.
He could have won in Imola, too. He could have won in Spain if he had a better start. Like, he could have 3 or 4 wins right now, and I'm not going to just totally hype him up. Like, there's things he needs to improve. He's been horrible starting. But
yeah,
he is consistently qualifying at the top, if not getting pole. He's, you know, him and Piastri are both in that top. Like I said, in terms of, like, if you had to ask me every race right now, at least, what's the podium going to be, I would just say Max and both the McLarens. If you had to just, like, if you're going for, like, the best betting odds, like, or the lowest betting odds, whatever.
Who would your fantasy lineup be?
Like, who's your fantasy lineup? Like, that'd be it. Yeah. So it's been awesome. It's so exciting to, at the same time, it's like a lot more pressure now because, like, before it was like fun if we got on the podium. Now it's like we expect to win more. But it's great for the sport because we now have this drama again that we haven't had in a couple years. We had a little taste of it at the beginning of 22 with Ferrari and Red Bull where they were competitive, but this is the first time where we've now had 5-6 races in a row where it's been, you know, basically Lando versus Max, and it finally boiled over, and we had a lot of drama in Austria where Max just drove him off the road and caused an accident, and that's – you're not going to change my opinion on that. I think you agree with me.
Yeah.
If you look at the video, that's what happened. And I have my other thoughts on that, but we'll obviously – I mean, that's – we won't squeeze those all into this episode because I could talk for 30 minutes about it, but it's – I think taking a step back from that, though, and, like, the frustration that is, like, it's a positive to me because it's, like, we're going to get this drama the rest of the season now. And, like, I still think in the end, like, Max is 70-something points ahead. I don't see how he loses the driver's championship. But the fact that now he is pressured again and now we're going to have these battles, hopefully, going forward. And hopefully Ferrari and Mercedes get in that mix, too. Like, look, I want Lando to win every single race. Like, I'd rather it be a competitive race and we see everybody involved in it. And we're starting to get that, but yeah, I mean, I don't know what they did, but they just did a great job at making upgrades this year, and they built a great car, and you have this young driver lineup that's going to be committed to you for the next several years, and it's just very exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. I think McLaren have gone from the last couple years where, you know, a couple podiums a year is fantastic. You know, being able to qualify on the front row is unbelievable. And even at the start of this year, it was kind of like that. You know, you're coming out in Bahrain almost the past few years and just not
behind
looking
the foot,
good.
Yeah, not looking great, yeah.
And being able to develop your way into a title fight at this point, I agree that I think Max will be able to get to the end as the champion. 12 races left. There is a lot of room. I think the next 3 races will be absolutely pivotal.
Yes.
In the entire conversation around whether there's a title fight or not.
Yeah.
And the nice thing is that Max is driving recklessly and these DNFs feel inevitable.
Yo, yeah, for sure.
But who he's crashing with are the other competitors that will.
Yeah, be it's 2020 all over again. Listen.
So, and yeah, it is. So I think
the guy gets pressure and that's how. I mean, he hasn't had opens this since up 21 and he opens up the steering. Then yeah. So, yeah. Yes, very exciting.
I think this year will be.
I think this
one
this,
of the McLaren seasons to remember.
Yes.
If Piastri gets a win.
Yes, I think if Piastri gets a win, it'll be great. I was gonna say,
I think the
other thing that is interesting to me, and I think is exciting, is going forward. Like this season, I think is look. I don't unless McLaren really come out and like start winning every race, they're probably not gonna catch up to Max. But I think if this continues, this is going to set up for like next year, last year, the regs, like same thing that happened 21 last year, the regs, like we could get an awesome battle for the whole season. But yes, if you're a McLaren fan, like this is peak right now. Like you're in it every weekend. Like you should fully expect that you can win every weekend. And like, I think, I don't know. It's just been cool to see. And like, I remember, I'm going to shout him out again here, but I remember after China texting Ryan being like P2, like, I think we're pretty close here.
Yeah.
And the next race, he won. So not that I'm taking credit, but
worked out.
If I was
worked
taking out. Credit. All right, let's move on to Ferrari because I have some thoughts on this too. But.
Before we move on, let's just mention we are climbing up the standings and McLaren has not quite reached Ferrari.
But it's getting close.
It's about 20 points.
Last five races, McLaren have been the highest scoring team by like 30 points over anybody else.
And I think when you're racing Max and a... on the back foot, Checo.
Yeah.
If Norris and Piastri can continue to take a win off of Max here, take a win off of Max there.
And take podiums consistently, yeah, they could.
And the second driver can continue to do that. If Max starts to take a few DNFs here and there, you're not that far behind.
There's a world, yeah, there's a world. There is. We're not out of it. There's a world, yeah.
Now, I think McLaren beating Ferrari will seal that as an unbelievable season.
Yeah, you can go P2, yeah. If you can go... P2 in constructors and Lando P2 in drivers, you're going to take that every time. Yeah.
And I think McLaren, we were kind of arguing like maybe fourth.
Fourth. I had them fourth, I think. And I think in the constructors or the drivers, we had both the drivers at 7-8 somewhere in there probably. So,
yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Let's jump to Ferrari now.
Listen. So, start of the season, you had Sainz looked incredible, had the race win.
Yep.
After the appendix got removed.
Unbelievable.
That was crazy. That's been the interesting part is then there's that stretch in the wild for a while there up until the last couple races or the last race really that Charles kind of been the higher qualifying, higher race finisher. But other than him, you know, you had Charles win in Monaco. That was awesome. Let's just take a step back. That was sick.
Finally
got it done. Yeah. I think everybody was rooting for that.
Such a boring race.
Such a boring race though. And this is where it gets tough is listen, I know I have a lot of friends who are Ferrari fans. AD is not going to like this at all, but there is just this weird vibe there now where they seem to be back firmly in like third place, like of the constructors, like the third best team. And these last couple times out, like you had Canada, which was a disaster.
Yeah.
You had Spain, which wasn't like they finished like in the top 10, but nothing to write home about. And then you have, you know, this past weekend where you have Charles, and I know Oscar made contact with him on lap one.
Yeah.
But you had Charles not even finishing the points, and then you had Sainz, I guess you think he finished fourth? Or I guess he finished, did he finish third because of the...
He was on the podium.
He was on the podium, okay, but because of the terrorist act by Max.
Yes.
If I'm a Ferrari fan, listen, if you're a Leclerc, now he has been pretty unlucky in some circumstances this year, but... I would have liked to see more consistency out of him. I think, now I will say this, statistics show, and I agree with this, up until this weekend, he had been outperforming signs in qualifying in races. I mean more consistency in terms of like, some of this is Ferrari too, I just feel like we're getting more mistakes from him than we normally would in qualifying and the race. And I would say the same for signs too. And it's not like they're a mile off, but like, there's something weird that's like, I don't know why. It feels like to me like they're just making these little mistakes that they used to not make as much.
I think in true Ferrari fashion, with Leclerc having Ferrari red blood running through his veins, with the team making less strategic and pit stop errors.
Yeah.
He is taking it upon himself to keep the tradition going.
Yeah, that's, I guess that I was trying to say is, like, it always seems to be something.
It does.
Whether it's the driver, the team, a mechanical issue with the car, it doesn't matter. There's always something.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's just, it's frustrating because you want them to also be near the top two. And, like, they both the drivers deserve to be on a top team. Like, they're both great drivers. Yeah. And they both won once this year. And, like, they both have had their different periods where they've been better than the other. But, yeah, I just, if you're a Ferrari fan, it's just got to be so frustrating because you're basically meddling in this fifth, sixth range for, like, races.
Yeah.
And you're kind of in no man's land, and there doesn't seem to be any signs of them, like, other than Monaco, where they had the win, but, like, Monaco's such an anomaly of a track that, like, at regular tracks, they don't seem to have it all the way there, but it's also, like, you're not bad enough to where, like, it's exciting that you're in the points or something.
Yeah.
It's this weird middle ground where, like, they're just kind of running their own races every weekend.
I think on their day, it is such a good day.
Yeah.
And it is such a spectacle to see when they are winning races or fighting for the race win. But it has felt like the last X number of races, bar Monaco, that every time they get in a battle, whether it's, you know, with both Mercedes or with a McLaren and a Mercedes, it feels like they are consistently losing out that extra spot, that extra, whether it's, you know, jumping up to fourth or.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, Sainz was able to get on the podium, but with Piastri getting through, or Piastri almost getting through, I should say. And I think he probably should have, but I think it's been such a, like, you've gotten Ferrari's hope, Ferrari fandom up
so much the last couple of years, and they've never fully gotten to that point. Yeah.
Race wins is the life.
The life, yeah.
And they just haven't been able to provide
you're
that.
You're even doing Italian hands right now as you're saying it. But, no, I agree. And I think for all my Ferrari fans out there, the positive to look at in this is, unless you're a Sainz fan, I guess, but I think, you know, they've been a team now for what, since 21, 22, 23, 24 years. I think at the same time, like, as much as Sainz has been great too, and they need something fresh. And I think they're kind of stuck. Like I said, we're stuck at this point where they're, like, almost there, but not totally there. And Lewis coming in, one, you're going to get a great driver, but also, like, you're going to get his perspective on things and all kind of other stuff. He's going to offer new insights in terms of development and how to look at the car. And I know not everything they've done at Mercedes has been well, but he's going to bring all that over to help with filling the gaps and whatever else. So I think that's the positive spin here if you're purely a Ferrari fan. And I think, too, it'll be, if you're a Leclerc fan specifically, like, it's another new challenge for him. Like, okay, is he that guy?
I think when they brought Sainz in, it was okay, Leclerc's going to lead the team.
Yeah.
Sainz is going to back up the constructors.
Yeah.
I think this is a true test. And, you know, Vettel on the end of his career.
Yeah.
You now have Leclerc taking on a
proven.
This is make it or break it. This is if you can outperform Lewis, who, yes, he's on the, you know, tail end of his career.
Yeah.
But he's competitive every week that he's in a car that matches the other one.
Yeah.
For this year's sake at Mercedes.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
But I think Leclerc will have a true test next year. I think the team as well will have a true test because you have Lewis coming in who has been part of this well-oiled Mercedes machine.
Yeah.
And will be used to the smooth operations that Carlos Sainz won't be providing anymore. See what I did there?
That was good. That was good.
So I think there's so much expected of Ferrari internally and especially next year from Lewis and obviously from the fans, but I think they have to live up to that now. Like,
no, I agree.
They now have everything live up behind them.
Yes. It should be consistent. That's where it's been frustrating. I mean, I'm not a Ferrari fan, but like just a fan of the sport, that's where it's been frustrating is they've had their moments where they've been close. They've had some race wins over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
But they've never fully closed that gap and made it consistent. And now you're looking up and you're 3 years into this reg and like, you're not like, I'd argue they're not, like, not that they're not close, but like they're clearly behind both McLaren and Red Bull. And that's a McLaren team that was fighting for P17 at the beginning of last year.
Yeah.
And like, I guess that's my point is you want to, like you said, being more consistent and like taking that next step.
Yeah.
But I want to note before we jump to Red Bull is, Fred Vasseur is so much fun.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, that is absolutely. So awesome.
All yeah.
Right. Last right. one.
Let's jump to Red Bull Racing. They are 60. Got to do some quick math. 4 points ahead of Ferrari in second place. Not bad. No,
I
for
love
this
where
point
we're at
season.
Because last year at this point, I could be just making it up. They had to be 150 plus ahead at this point last year.
I'm sure Max was.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So Red Bull, obviously, you know, Tyler and I's favorite team by far. We love seeing race wins. We love how hard Max races. No. I think this Red Bull team's funny because it's like there's two different teams.
Yeah.
I mean, each of the drivers have pretty much the same car. And I know he's one of your guys, but what are we doing with Checo? I mean, listen, I know they re-signed him, and a lot of that was in Helmut Marko even came out and say it. Like, he has a bunch of sponsors, and he's going to help pay for more stuff. Mm-hmm. I get that. But my God, I mean, he got beat on pace by a Haas this past weekend. And
he had a hole in his side.
Well, yeah, but you get my point. You get my point.
I mean, yeah.
The problem is he's sometimes not even making it in Q3. He's qualifying at the back, which is a problem he had last year, too. And then even in the race, like, okay, let's take Austria out with the damage. Like, even in the race, he's just really not making that much ground up.
Yeah.
And you're getting him to finish, you know, at best P5, P6. Like,
it feels like there's always something.
It's every weekend, there's always something and some kind of issue. And then he always comes out and says, like, oh, I just wasn't, like, it's always some kind of, not excuse, but, like, just wasn't my track type of thing. And you just keep doing it every weekend. And I want him to be good because he's been a big part of the sport and everything. But it's just so tough. The problem with me that I have is, like, I get Max is Max, and there's always going to be that discrepancy to the next driver. I get that.
Yeah.
But the gap feels so big between the two of them.
Yeah.
It's just tough to watch. And I think if you're Red Bull, we've talked about this a million times, like, now the constructors are pretty close this year, even though Max is in first by 70 points, because Checo's in, what, sixth in the drivers? Fifth? Like, I'm not saying it needs to be second, but, like, the car for the beginning part of the year was definitely the best car.
Yeah.
You should still be at least touching the podium or not be close to it. And
he's there with multiple DNFs.
Yeah, I get that. I'm just...
Yeah.
You watch, too.
I know. I'm not saying... I'm saying he is one of my guys.
He's one of your guys, but he's not doing enough right now.
He's not doing enough, but... It's also hard to imagine anybody doing enough. Like, no, we've seen Max
just
destroy drivers.
I agree, but I'm just saying, like, there's just some other drivers. Like, if Piastri's in that seat right now, I just don't think he's doing as bad as Checo is.
And I don't disagree with that.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with that.
I think that's my frustration is I don't know what happened, because he'd race the beginning of last year, he was so good.
Yeah.
Something happened, and he's just not mentally gotten back to... I don't know what it is. You just can't get back to that point. I'm not saying he needs to be. He should be getting into Q3 every time.
Yeah.
Regardless. And he should be finishing with the car they have probably top five every time at worst. And that's doesn't seem to be happening.
I agree.
And so I think that's the frustration. But then on the flip side of that, like, you have Max, who won all the races at the beginning. And now we have some competition like we talked about. And wouldn't you know, after all these people saying the last few years, oh, he's not like that anymore. It's first time he's...
Here it comes.
First time he's really been pressured, and the classic, either we... If I'm not going to win, we're going to crash driver, is fully back. And I'd like your opinion on this, too, but my opinion is and I've seen a lot of stuff on it from different people on Twitter and read a lot of different things, like, the thing that in 2021 where we... I mean, we saw it come to fruition a couple of times, but, like, a lot of times Lewis would just back out.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that was because, one, he's playing the longer game of, like, okay, you know, I'm confident in the team to get this car better. And if we get second, like, yeah, let's just get the points here.
Yeah.
And he's won, at that point, he had won seven world championships. Like, he had won all these races. Like, he doesn't have as much to prove.
And he knows the rules.
But that doesn't really go with my point here. My point is, though, now is, like, when you have drivers like, you're going to have, like, Leclerc, Sainz, Russell, and specifically Norris, who's only won one race.
Yep.
And sees that he has a car that can beat Max and was going to beat Max in Austria, was going to pass him and was going to win the race. Max then resorts to what And it's not just our opinion because we don't like him. What the entire world saw, which is dirty driving, basically. And it just sucks to see that because it's like, I thought that was going to be at 21. I thought we had gotten past that.
Yeah.
But he now feels pressured now from this. And I think he can see, like, okay, if I don't, like, this could be a problem for the team and me. And I want to see good hard battles. I want to see good racing. Like, I'm not saying they need to, like, bow down for each other, but, like,
sure.
That one was so obvious, like, his fault, and everyone knew it was his fault. And for it to the result of that race to be that not only did he take Lando out and cost him the win, but because of Lando getting no points and Max still even getting only getting a 10-second penalty, he gained a bigger lead on him in the championship.
Yeah.
And he took a driver out of the race. And so, like, that's a whole different discussion of, like, addressing how do we deal with that. But for him to, you know, basically be moving under braking the entire time and then complain that Lando was dive bombing. Dive bombing is part of the sport. Like, that's
what you were doing in 21.
That's what you're doing in 21 the whole time. And, like, none of the dive bombs Lando did were, like, outrageously disgusting.
Not
like,
at all.
No way was he making it. All of them, he got alongside of them and they were fine dive bombs. And then Max pushes him out wide in the one and bumps into him.
Dive bombing on the outside of the track is not called dive bombing.
Yeah. And then it's like, oh, well, we knew that was going to happen. Like, whatever. It's like, dude, like, you're just admitting now that you're going to crash into him.
Yeah.
If he didn't stop doing that. And it's like, why you ruined the race for yourself where you could have won.
Yeah.
If not gotten second, you ruined the race for him. And I know there's competitors and stuff like this is your supposed best friend off the track or whatever.
Yeah.
You ruined that. And then you have other people like, it's just so frustrating to me because it's like, there was no, I'm not expecting him to back down, but there's no reason to, like, just keep it a clean fight. And if you get beat, I don't know. Like, it's just.
I think we have reached the tip of the iceberg of the downfall of Max Verstappen.
Oh, yeah. And I was going to say him and Lando's relationship is going to be.
That too. Nothing. That too. I think there's so many different layers to this, right? We hit this incident where, okay, this might be one of the first times where there is a very competitive car, a very competitive driver that can beat Max Verstappen on merit. And since Lewis.
Yeah, since Lewis, yeah.
And now that it's a different driver and a different fan base and a different group of people analyzing these things, I think there's more that the sport can witness based on, okay, it wasn't just to blame on Lewis. Or, like, Lewis was backing out of it a lot. And when it wasn't, it was dirty, mostly on Max's part.
Yeah.
Like Andreas Seidel explained, because we didn't address that.
In 21,
In 21.
He can just get away with it. And it's like this, they have this, like the stewards and stuff, like, don't treat him the same because of it. Because it wasn't addressed.
Yeah. And it's a weird, as I think it was Julian Palmer was explaining, it's such a gray area because the way he drives is uncompromising.
Yeah.
Now there's no rules against being uncompromising. However, he does break actual driving rules to get there.
Yeah.
Now there's instances where in 2021, if we look back at some of the incidents with Lewis, it was within the regulations uncompromising, and they did make contact, or they did both go off the track.
Yeah.
Lewis should have, if all rules were followed, Lewis should have been relatively, for majority of them, in the front.
Yeah.
Now, he was in a car that was allowing him to win races on every other weekend, so he didn't feel the need to and was smart enough to back out
of it,
and play a smarter game. Now we have drivers that are hungry
and like
first
no like and if I'm McLaren fan too, and I'm positive right now and you're looking at, but like, you don't know if like Mercedes was such a machine at that point. Lewis knew every weekend he was gonna have a chance. Like,
absolutely.
Lando doesn't know. Like,
yeah,
he could come and have a stinker at one of the
Been used to it for the past however many years of not being able to fight like
I agree with you. They never addressed it in 21 and I know we've shared our thoughts on this a ton, but it's like, it's so frustrating because Max is such a great driver and doesn't need to resort to this to win the races. He can win them all on merit.
Yeah.
He can win all of them on merit and not resort to any of this. He's a great driver. We're not saying that. We're just saying it's like,
he doesn't even need to win any more races.
He seems the only one that like can he's the only one that can get away with it, and people just like don't really bat an eye because they're like, oh, well, it's Max. That's just how he races. It's like, it's the same thing where it's like, It's just like compare it to like if you compare it to like a person who like is just like rude to people in general, or whatever. It's like, well, that's just how he is. Yeah. Or like people would say like in sports, like when someone's like super like is like mean to their teammates and stuff. It's like, well, he's just really competitive. It's like,
yeah.
No, he's just kind of a mean guy. Like, yeah. And I'm using choice words here on purpose, but like
smart.
Yeah, like you get what I'm saying. Like, yeah. It's the same argument where it's like, well, that's just Max like racist. It's like. Yeah, but no one else is allowed to race like that. Yeah. So, like, why are we changing the rules just because, like, this is how this guy's races? And then Horner came out today and said, like, well, don't expect him to change how he races. It's like...
And that's what I don't... That's why I don't think this will change. Is no. Because you see, okay, a 10-second penalty, that's great. He was finally reprimanded, 10-second penalty. Now, that would have been a great penalty if Lando was still in the race.
Yeah.
You open up a whole other can of worms with that whole conversation. Yeah. But... Let's say they continue the race. He's given a 10-second penalty. I think that is good. That is fine.
Yeah.
Right? Whole nother can of worms. Let's hold on that for a second. He is going to go back to the Red Bull headquarters. They're going to debrief that race. And internally, nobody's going to be like, hey, Max, maybe you shouldn't do that anymore.
Yeah.
Maybe that's not the smartest way to handle this.
They're just going to be like, yeah, they're not going to say anything. And they're just going to be like, oh, like this incident happened that causes these points. So like, yeah, you're right. Like no one's going to say to them, like, you shouldn't do this anymore.
Exactly.
Because they got away with it in 2021.
Exactly.
And one, like, obviously the race itself, like it didn't, you had the incident lap one in 2021 in Abu Dhabi. But like, other than that, like the, we obviously all know what happened, but like the move he actually did in 2021 to win on the last lap was not dirty in itself. Like correct. It was a fine pass and like it was a good pass, but like the point is like all that leading up to 2021, like everything that happened, a lot of it was, and I'm not saying there wasn't parts where Lewis was to blame too. I'm just saying like a majority of it was Max's fault, and no one ever really addressed it with him, and no one ever like properly. Punished him for it, and so that's how he's always going to drive when he gets in these situations. And the last 2.5 years, we haven't seen that because no one's ever been consistently close to it.
Exactly.
And the only races he hasn't won, he's not been in a battle for the win, right? Like
it hasn't been.
He DNF'd. Like if we think about the great battle him and Leclerc had in the first race of the new regs, mm-hmm. He DNF'd in that race at the end. Other than that, he's only lost at like Monaco and like Singapore, and it's because mm-hmm. he's been like they qualified bad. And he was P6 and he couldn't pass anybody. Yeah. Well, he's not going to race dirty during that because like he doesn't need to. Like, mm-hmm. what is he? He knows he's going to win all these races anyway, so it's like one race is nothing. Now it's not the case.
Yeah,
and we're seeing the repercussions of that. So
I can't remember if it was on a tech talk or if it was in the post race show, but they brought up I think it was like 6 examples from 2021 or. From Max's driving
career.
Yeah,
I saw that clip, yeah.
Almost the exact same move that he did pretty much, I mean, in Austria, he turned left under braking into Lando.
Yeah, which is unnatural. It was unnatural the way he
absolutely.
Took the corner, yeah.
But relatively the same move and relatively the same outcomes in all of them if there wasn't contact.
Yeah.
That driving style is not... an acceptable driving style.
No.
We are never going to get good wheel-to-wheel racing.
No, you're just going to get accidents every time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We're going to get accidents, or we're going to get drivers backing out constantly and not being able to get back to him.
Yeah.
We're going to have him gaining 10 seconds off the track, or whatever it is. We're not going to get the wheel-to-wheel battling like we should, or like we would out of Alonso and Lewis, like they were
doing
fighting
this,
where was it?
Bahrain last year. Yeah.
We get great battles. We see these great battles, but we haven't really seen... great fair fight battling
between
Max
and everyone. No, I agree with him. If you think back at his career, there's never been, if he's been in a great battle with someone, there's been rare instances where it's come out clean and the driver's been respectful of it, and that's what's tough. That's like, and the problem too is like, you can't, if this were NASCAR, because the car's more durable and stuff like that, you could race like that. These F1 cars, unfortunately, which is a fair knock on them, they like if
Rubbing
you watch that video, if you watch that video, like it was very dirty race from him, but it's dirty because the cars are that weak too, where it's like
they tapped twice.
They tapped twice and both of them had punctures.
Yeah.
Like that's insane. And Lando
and axle failures.
And axle failures and like everything fell apart in the car. And like Lando couldn't even get him back in the race because of that contact. Like that is insane. But like that's how the cars are, so you have to drive accordingly.
Yeah.
And big gripe with this is people always argue like, well, he's just racing hard. It's like, but no one else is having these issues.
Mm-hmm.
Like yes, people like no one else who's a good driver and fair is having these issues, right? Like you have Ocon who makes a stupid, like people make stupid moves sometimes, or like Magnussen in Monaco when he like clipped Checo's tire. And, like, you have that at the start of races where that happens, where there's things are tight and stuff. Like during the actual race,
a battle for the lead.
No one else, is having these issues except for him, and he's. We've always said this. He's the one that has always had the drama with this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you think back to 2021. That was Max's great battle.
Yeah.
Right? And it was full of off-track steward issues, everybody
drama,
upset, everything. There was some good battling there, but it was few and far between amongst all of the chaos. Yes.
Yeah.
Now we have a driver in Lando who is going to race respectfully. Coming out of this, Max could have said, okay, I analyzed I made a mistake. Turned under braking, I did all this stuff. Whatever, okay, I get it, move on.
Yeah.
That's fine. He's never going to live in a world where he admits those things.
And like, I think the other evidence, too, is like obviously he's gotten better at driver of the years, but if you look back pre-2021, when he didn't have his competitive car, he still won some races.
Yeah.
He was a great driver. There weren't really any incidents before. I mean, you had the Ricciardo one where he ran in the back of him.
Yeah.
But other than that, you didn't have any real, like, any races he won or where he was battling, because he had some awesome battles with those Mercs back then where he drove really well and stuff. Mm-hmm. That was never an issue.
Yeah.
And then now we look ahead and it's, he got in a spot where he finally has a car that it was competitive and he had all these issues. And then those issues, you know, quote unquote, disappeared, but it's because he had no one to challenge him for it. And now, we finally got to a point where, like, it is the first couple races where he's being challenged for it, and we've had five or six in a row where it's been like, okay, Lando could win.
Yeah.
Like, Lando could very easily have won three more races this year.
Yeah.
And it'd be a whole different story for the championship, but, like, I think he's realizing that, and he's like, well, I need to, like, go back to this now, like, where it's like, well, if I'm not going to win, like, neither of us can get points.
I think he's used to the concept or the general idea that, okay, he is so far outperforming the Red Bull car.
Yeah.
Like, there was obviously a couple years there where, okay, the car is just an absolute rocket ship.
Yeah.
But Max is still outperforming
the car. Yeah.
So he's outperforming the car, and now the car is dragging him down a little bit where other cars aren't dragging their drivers down a little bit.
Yeah.
And he still is putting the pressure on himself to outperform the car and outperform himself. And that's just getting him into more and more incidents. And I'm sure we'll see plenty more throughout the season because he refuses to accept that maybe the car can't win the race.
Yeah, I agree.
Couldn't agree more.
All right, well, that was a good recap of all the 10 teams there. But we're going to try to start doing these a little more regularly, not waiting 7 or 8 races to do one. But
sometimes you got to wait for the good ones.
Well, we had a lot happen, and I think, you know, summary and the positive note of all this is that I think we're set for a very competitive rest of the season, which I think going into the year we did not think was going to happen at all.
Correct.
And especially at the beginning of the first few races, and we have that now. So
yeah, I think we're looking forward to more silly season drama.
Yeah.
Oh, we didn't even really touch on the Carlos Sainz options. Sainz is going to be the first domino to fall.
Yep.
Amongst,
and they've all said that all the drivers are like, it's all depends on where he goes, and
teams are getting impatient.
Yeah, it's crazy that, like, nothing more is, like, he's been linked to different teams. Like, at this point in the season, I'm sure by the summer break we'll get something, but it's crazy that it's gone this long and, like, nothing. No one's gotten any rumors that have been, like, concrete.
I've heard that he was ready to sign with Mercedes, but Mercedes was only going to give him 1 year.
I heard that as well. They said that on the F1 TV broadcast.
And that's what I wanted to mention earlier is Sainz in a headspace where he's ready to
commit longer term
and obviously it seems like he wants to stay longer term, but is he willing to give up the competitiveness of the car
for
to do
something
that?
Yeah,
is he at a point in his career where he can do like what Bottas did or what Vettel did at the end of his career, something like that? I don't know.
Yeah, be interesting to see.
It will be. Where do you think he ends up?
My theory and what I think is going to happen, I'll just lay it out exactly. I think he ends up at Williams next year. He signs, I think, for Williams next year. And then I think Antonelli goes to Mercedes. Mm-hmm. I think Antonelli is going to stink because he hasn't really done anything at the lower one. So he's going to be like, okay, this didn't work. You have a shot, though. They'll bring signs up for the new regs in, 26? And then somebody else will join Albon on Williams. That would be that is my prediction. The funniest outcome would be him going to Alpine, because that would just be so random.
Alpine is pursuing him very hard.
Oh yeah, very hard. Which very I don't blame hard. Him. That'd be a good lineup, him and Gasly. But like,
it would be.
That'd be a great lineup for them to watch them both get 10th. Like,
yeah.
If I'm him, the Williams one is more exciting to me than the Alpine one, because you have this chance to build something.
Yes.
The pipeline of Mercedes and the hope of it, or Mercedes where you're at a top team, going to this middle tier team is like, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I also think he ends up at Williams. I think he stays there longer term.
I can see that too, yeah.
I think they give Antonelli 2 years.
They probably give him 2 years, though. They probably give him 2 years, yeah. I mean, unless he is Nick DeVries bad.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, if he's that bad, yeah. I think they replace him midseason. Yeah,
that's fair.
And they probably pull, I don't know. It would have to be somebody from Williams, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Or they just throw Mick back in there.
Yeah, Mick will be thrown around every year.
Yeah.
His name will be thrown around as a possibility. All right, anything else?
I think that's it.
We'll see you next time.
See you next time.
Goodbye.